Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special mom in your life. And what better way than with the Osea's limited edition skincare sets, featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets that are perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their advanced eye care duo brightens, awakens, and firms the skin around your eyes, while the golden glow body trio nourishes and smooths the skin all over. Both sets are packaged in giftable boxes. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. And the best part? For a limited time, you can save up to $46 on Osea's sets. Plus, get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. This Mother's Day, get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off site-wide.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and I wanted to read, John, this is from the New American, and it's got to do with JFK's death. And, you know, I remember very, very clear what I was doing, that when I heard over the radio, I was doing carpenter work, and I heard the radio when they came on, and they said JFK had been assassinated. I couldn't believe it, because 5 years earlier, I had met him personally and had my picture taken with him. And it was a very interesting thing. And here, I hear that he was assassinated. But here's out of the report that I was just telling you about. All these questions and culprits keep the American people guessing. However, the most important question that should be asked 60 years later is why? The how and the who are just scenery. To keep concerned Americans from asking the most important questions, why was Kennedy killed? Who benefited? Who had the power to cover it up? Boiling down the Kennedy assassination to the core of why it happened and what we can do in light of it is of the utmost importance of the American today. Applying Hanlon's razor, an edge, an adage saying that you should never, never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. Can we assume that JFK's assassination was merely the result of incompetence on behalf of the Secret Service, the CIA and the FBI and local law enforcement? No. This theory is highly unlikely. Three presidents had been assassinated prior to JFK, Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, and William McKinley. Additionally, multiple presidents had attempts on their lives prior to the JFK, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Andrew Jackson were all shot at, with Theodore Roosevelt being the only one to sustain an injury. The Secret Service certainly had sophisticated methods for protecting the president, especially during a dangerous time, such as the Cold War in the early 1960s. Additionally, it is well documented that the CIA had tabs on Lee Harvey Oswald as early as several weeks prior to the assassination. He was a known security risk. In April of 1963, Oswald attempted to assassinate former General Edwin Walker, who was a member of the John Birch Society. With the same Italian Carcano rifle he wielded when allegedly killing Kennedy, Oswald missed Walker's head by an inch. It's reasonable to believe that the authorities had knowledge of Oswald's employment at the Texas School Book Depository, overlooking the route through which the president would travel. President Dwight Eisenhower, who himself was involved in Operation Kill Hall, the forced repatriation, I'll say it, of civilians and soldiers under a Western consul to Soviet communists after World War II, focused almost solely on the threat of a military-industrial complex in his farewell address in 1961. He reflected in the councils of the government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for this disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. And one of the greatest sources of authority against the people within any civil government lies in its war powers. The loss of liberty, sovereignty, and national integrity is a real possibility when America engages in endless wars, particularly those wars that are destined to fail, yet financially benefit the few at expense of the many, and Kennedy tried to stop that. Who had the power to cover it up? After Kennedy's assassination, Lyndon B. Johnson signed Executive Order 11130, appointing a commission to report upon the assassination of President John Kennedy, commonly referred to as the Warren Commission. Boy, yeah, you could a lot of trust in those people, huh? Yeah. In addition to Chief Justice Earl Warren, members of the commission were Senator Richard B. Russell, Senator John Sherman Cooper, Representative Hale Boggs, and Representative Gerald R. Ford. CFR Chairman John McCoy, and former CIA Director Alan Dulles. Oh, boy. Dulles was very well known, wasn't he?
Yep.
Who had been fired by the late president. Three out of the seven on the Warren Commission were active Council of Foreign Relations members. John J. McCoy preceded David Rockefeller as the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. Gerald Ford was a member, and Alan Dulles served as CFR president for 4 years. The commission found that Lee Harvey Oswald acted as a lone gunman. Yeah, sure he did. Firing three bullets, the commission finding have been highly controversial and contested. Yeah, I guess so. In 1976, the House of Representatives established a select committee on assassinations to investigate the murders of JFK and Dr. Martin Luther King. Their committee concluded that JFK's death was the result of a conspiracy. No president has fully released all the documents in accordance with that act. President Trump, when presented with the choice to release the documents in October of 2017, released 2,800 documents with a number of redactions relating to the JFK assassination. But under the direction of then CIA Director Mike Pompeo, decided to withhold the remaining documentation. Roger Stone, a political advisor who worked in the Nixon, Reagan, and Trump White Houses, asked President Trump why he didn't release the full documentation on JFK's murder. Trump's answer, according to Stone, I can't tell you. It is so horrible you wouldn't believe it. Someday you'll find out. Trump has now vowed to release all the documents if reelected in 2024. So, there you go. What do you have to say about all of that, John McTurton?
Well, Pastor Irby, there's so much to say about it. I hardly know where to begin. But you nailed it on the head there. Who benefited by his death? And the number one was Johnson, who the vice president, because he was under investigation by Bobby Kennedy and the Justice Department for horrific crimes, bribery, and a whole bunch of other stuff in Texas. And do you remember, Pastor Ernie, a man by the name, he had an odd name, Billy Solestes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was the one that was going to put Johnson in jail. He was a key witness in this. And after Kennedy was killed, the Justice Department, Bobby Kennedy was removed as the attorney general, that whole case disappeared, attorney. It disappeared completely.
Kind of like the deep state, huh? What about what about George Bush?
Yeah, you know, Pastor Ernie, you said something very interesting. Everybody that was, I'd say 10 years older or 10 years or older in 1963, they remember exactly what they were doing and where they were when the when Kennedy was assassinated. I was sick from school that day, and I was laying on the couch. I was laying on the couch, and the TV was on, and an emergency broadcast came over and said that the president had been shot, and he was being rushed to the hospital and all. So everybody remembers vividly where they were, except George Bush. George Bush said he didn't remember where he was when Kennedy was shot. What a liar. How could he not remember that?
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. Let's ask Aloysius Schosenheimer, formerly known as Style. Hey, Style, where were you when Kennedy was shot?
Wasn't even a thought.
Yep, that was long before you were born, huh? Yep. Yeah, that was something. Yeah, I'll never forget that. I just couldn't believe it because here's the way I met him, John. I don't know if I ever told you the story of how I met John Kennedy. I was a kid, and my friend's father was the manager of a little airport called Lost Nation Airport, and it was on Lost Nation Road. And we were inside, and they had one of those little airplanes, those little planes you sit in, and, you know, it'll go forward or sideways. It kind of, you know, like a little demonstrator, and I was in that airplane, Bob and I were in there by ourselves, and all of a sudden, the doors burst open, and here, these people came in, and back in those days, the cameras had these big flash bulbs. They were, you know, big, about the size of a cantaloupe. They were big and round, and I'm sitting in this plane, and here comes this group of men, and someone points at me and said, "Photo op," like that. And I was thinking, I ain't no photo op. I didn't know what a photo op was back then. And all of a sudden, all of these guys came over to me, and John Kennedy's puts his arm around me and scared the dickens out of me. I didn't know what they was going to do at first. And they were all taking pictures, and one of them asked me, young man, I was only about 10 years old. It was about 1957, 58, right there. And so I asked, you know, "Do you know who this man is?" And I said, "No." He said, "He's going to be our next president." And so the guy asked me, and they're, "Are you going to vote for him?" You know, this, you know, and yeah, I'll vote for him. I was scared to death. You know, you had all of these grown-up men standing around me. And here this fellow had his arm around me taking pictures. It was really an amazing thing. And that's how I met him. And he was, you know, he kind of just automatically liked the guy. You know, he just had a personality that you liked about him. And here, next thing I hear, you know, he's been assassinated. That was something. So
you were 10 years old?
I can remember when he was assassinated, I was 15. And I didn't really follow politics that closely. I followed baseball, basketball, and football and all that. But I remember family members saying that the government got him, the CIA got him, you know, and they took him down to Texas. Johnson lured him down to Texas. And I can remember all that, and I was having a hard time relating to it. I mean, but the people that followed politics then, they knew what was going on. Of course, I didn't at 15. But when I look back, they were 100% right, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, yeah.
Family members.
Oh, I remember.
They knew it. They knew what had happened to them.
Yeah, I remember because there was that, you know, there was that coldness between Johnson and Kennedy. And we did a program. We had a woman named Brown. She was Lyndon Johnson's mistress. And this was some years ago. I don't know if she's still alive or not. I doubt that she's still alive.
No, I doubt it, Pastor Ernie.
But she was on the air, and she had a son by him, an illegitimate son. And she went to him to get, she wanted him to give her son his name. And I guess Lady Bird wouldn't have anything to do with that. And so she was saying how she was there that day. They were in, I'm trying to remember if it was like his mansion or the where he was at that time. I believe it was on one of his ranch. I may be wrong. I can't remember now. But she said that he was in the library. Daddy Bush was there. And a number of the other big wigs of that time were all in the library. And they came out. This was the day before the assassination. And they came out, and as the great big library doors opened, she was sitting behind it. And he stopped right there, lit up a cigar, and said, after tomorrow, those Kennedys, and he used the word that's in the Bible, will no longer. I can't use the rest of what he said. But anyhow, so, and that's what she said. And so, and I believe her, and that Daddy Bush was right there at that time. Dulles, I think Dulles was there. And I'm trying to think of who else, but with him at that time. She mentioned two or three of these guys. Dulles, I believe.
Didn't she mention Hoover was there? Hoover?
I can't remember that. I remember her making sure Bush, that she said Bush and Dulles, but I can't remember whether or not she said Hoover was there.
Yeah, if I could add something to this, Pastor Ernie, from an agent perspective.
Yeah.
In my job, if the Secret Service, the president came to town, and that would have been Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, they would call on all agents in a certain job description, which mine was, to assist the Secret Service. And I got to know Secret Service guys really close in Harrisburg. And they know, the Secret Service agents know that Kennedy was set up because all procedures were violated with him. The way the car, he went through downtown with an open, sitting open, he shouldn't have. The route that they took made them actually stop and turn, and that's forbidden. You're supposed to go at a certain speed. The police were supposed to have a big escort. He only had, and there's supposed to be a bunch of cars before the president with the agents always looking up at the buildings and the crowds. Motorcycles, there's supposed to be a whole bunch of motorcycles. There's only two with him, only one car in front of him. Everything was violated, Pastor Ernie. Everything. He was set up, and it came back from Washington directed what had happened. It came from not the local agents. It came from Washington to do that, and not one Secret Service agent, not one commissioner of the Secret Service ever were fired or anything happened to them. They got all passed over, Pastor Ernie, for what the incompetence, what they've done. If you want to look at it as incompetence, but it wasn't. It was a setup coming
somebody,
from Washington.
Somebody became very wealthy, huh? It's the way it usually works. Now, when you see that, the way they did that, it was like blatant. Is that not exactly what we saw January 6th?
Yes.
You know, and here...
Wasn't the stealing of the 2020 election and Trump's presidency, wasn't that blatant in your face?
Yeah, I'm sitting here and I'm watching around midnight. I'm watching Trump way ahead, and all of a sudden the numbers are inverted, completely reversed. That was pretty blatant, wasn't it?
When I went to bed, late because I'm sure Trump won. He had, in Pennsylvania, he had more than 300,000 votes ahead with 2% left of the vote. I wake up in the morning, and he's losing by like 50,000. At 3 in the morning, they had a 400,000 vote dump coming in as ballots.
I'm watching at midnight, and I watched him, reverse the numbers. Okay, and I went to bed then, but yeah, it's just unbelievable how much, and all of these mail-in ballots. And I remember watching where a truck pulled into Detroit, and it was one of those big box trucks. And they opened it up, and they had on each box written real plain, the camera went in, Biden ballots. They were bringing in a whole truckload. These did not come, from it's just amazing how in-your-face corrupt they were. In Detroit, Michigan, the corrupt cops even made sure that the people couldn't get in. They boarded up the windows so the Republicans couldn't even get in, to count the ballots. They weren't allowed in. And you saw what happened in Georgia. And I think, what was it, in Maricopa County, they're still finding, 300,000 ballots, phony ballots? And so, yeah, it was just,
Don't
it was like...
Don't forget Philadelphia, Pastor Ernie. Don't forget Philadelphia.
Yeah. It was like in-your-face corrupt. And then that same, what they call the Dirty 30, dirty FBI agents, and I want to say this, that not all FBI agents are dirty, John. I had some friends that were good Americans, and I'm going to tell you, if they're like the whistleblowers, like you had all these whistleblowers, praise the good Lord for those people that had the courage to come forward, and you saw how they were treated by Chris Wray and the dirty cops at the FBI. But there's still a lot of agents out there, field agents, that are not corrupted. And, I tell you, it makes it, they're more embarrassed than anybody on the way these things happen to them. So, anyhow, that's what's going on in my world right now here today.
Well, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to add something that I see a trend happening on a good note. Did you see the election in Argentina?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good note. That is absolutely. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? The same thing happened in Holland.
Yes. That's what I wanted. And then don't forget Italy and Hungary.
Yeah, but the Italian
now,
one was.
I think it's Sweden and Norway are beginning to throw out all of these Muslim terrorists. They're turning now. These countries are turning. So there's a noticeable move now. But Holland and Argentina, they happened almost simultaneously. It's like shocking. I mean, it's really shocking the system there, the New World Order.
Yeah, and so many of those now are outlawing. They have outlawed, especially I think it was Sweden that never did any lockdowns or anything. Now they've totally outlawed all of the big pharma kill shots. So that's good news too. Yeah,
the bad side is I think one of the worst countries now is Australia. Australia is like a little fascist state right now.
But there is a lot of resistance boiling up in Australia. They've had some very huge rallies. And
speaking of resistance, Ireland. Did you see what happened in Ireland?
No.
The media are protecting whoever the criminal was, but apparently the Irish knew he was an immigrant from a Muslim country in North Africa, and he went to a school and stabbed a bunch of kids and a bunch of people, and the Irish rioted, and they went to some hotel where they was all these immigrants were staying, and they were fighting the police. They started fires, and it's like an uprising in Ireland against the New World Order now. This just happened like yesterday. Huge fighting in the streets against the police.
Well, you know, again, it's happening. Wars and rumors and rumors of wars. We're seeing Matthew 24 coming, you know, being played out before our very eyes. So all these things are happening, and more and more, you're hearing more and more this, more and more violence. And so this is why it's so important to do what we're doing, to run to this battle right now. This is the time where you place up your crowns in heaven. Is the Lord's return imminent, John?
It is, Pastor Ernie. It's for a variety of reasons, the prophetic streams are all like converging right now, Pastor Ernie. All so many prophetic indicators in the Bible, I mean, they're starting to flash red now.
I had a woman say to me today, you Christians think that you're going to get away scot-free. You don't have to do anything because Jesus is going to come back at the rapture and take you out of here. And so is that what we Christians believe?
No, Pastor Ernie. It's a love relationship. The Bible says he's the groom. And we're the bride, and when he comes for us, we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's the relationship we have. It's a spiritual relationship. That's what we're looking for, Pastor Ernie.
No, what I'm talking about, John, is they're saying that we don't think that we're going to have tribulation. Jesus said, "You will have tribulation." And they think that we don't realize that there's the persecution of the church right now is worse than it's ever been, okay? Because some of these people, they get their information from the mainstream media out there. And yet the persecution of the church is worse than it's ever been in the world today. You know, we talked about how many 22,000 Armenians murdered without, not even a mention of it in the news. Not even a mention of it in the news. So we don't think that we're going to miss and that we're not going to have to go through tribulation. We're seeing it coming here. In fact, you know, we expect that, you know, this country, unless the Lord intervenes and unless the people wake up, unless people realize, look, you can no longer let the few fight for the many, that those of us that want to restore America back to one nation under God, they've got to act. They can't just sit back anymore and depend upon just a few of us. Everybody's got to pull their part. If they don't, they're not going to know freedom, are they?
No.
So freedom is not free, is it?
Pastor Ernie, one thing we need to pray for, it's leadership. Because if you have people that are ready to go, they need leadership to organize it, to guide it, so that's the big thing, and to like lead. We're not just a mass of people. There's got to be leadership, and that's what I. There's some in Congress that are good leaders. There's some government governors here and there, but they have to step up. We need it on the local level, state level. We need leadership that's going to say no to the federal government now, what they're doing, and the people are behind them with this leadership.
Absolutely. We're going to open up the phone lines. And so let's do this. Let's open up the phone lines and take some calls. Ready? The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Now, I wanted to say something. Trump's been winning some victories here lately, too. And now they think they have a new strategy, John, that they have five state attorney generals in blue states that have the ability, the authority, they say, to keep Trump off the ballot in those blue states. So what do you think would be the response if they manage to do that? How many states go red and how many states go blue? So if they did that, think about this. We're going to go to a break. If they did that, if those five attorney generals kept Trump off the ballots in the blue states, and that's California, that is Oregon, that is Nevada, that is New Mexico and Colorado, if they did that, what do you think would be the response of states like Ohio here or Texas or Florida in response to that? We're going to a break, and the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this.
Remember learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, Issue 1 is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, and even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, Issue 1 was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But Issue 1 violates our state and federal constitutional right to life, which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear the jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionists is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
All righty, we're back. And there you go. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're in the air.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you? Are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
3 weeks ago, one of the guys that worked on the Warren Commission was in Westlake, and he gets up there. His name was Griffith. He gets up there and he says, I'm not a conspiracy guy. So he gave his spiel, which everybody knew was going to be the Warren Commission. When it was done, he took very few questions, all of them poor. One point in time, he said, are there any lawyers in the room? A couple of three guys raised their hand. And then he said, what do you think of this evidence? Oh, it's ironclad. It's ironclad. So when it was done, like I say, he didn't take many questions. But I ended up talking to his people, and I said, well, you know, it's a funny thing. Oswald has no gunpowder marks on his face or his hand. I said, that's ironclad, right? But I'll tell you, it's a funny thing, you were mentioning Billy Soles Est. So he died about 3 years ago. And in the New York Times, in his obit, it said that he claimed that some of Johnson's hitmen took a shot at Kennedy and hit him. And then last but not least, I'll leave you with this. So I read that stupid New York Times. And a woman in that had a bordello in Paris died about maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago. When she died, here's what she said. She said, "We had everybody here. We had everybody here." I go, "Well, who'd y'all have?" "Oh, we had the Shah here and this and that." And she said, "We had JFK here." And the reporter said, "And what was he like?" She said, "When he came into the bordello, he said, 'I want somebody like Jackie, but hot.'"
All righty. Jackie was pretty, wasn't she?
Yeah, very elegant.
Yeah, I think, yeah. She was definitely. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening. Hope all is well. We do have a lot to be thankful for, even though there's a lot of craziness going on. We can stand on those promises every day. And also, a lot of what you're saying about whether it's Kennedy or any of these other assassinations that have taken place, we know the truth is stranger than fiction. From 1928, when the Democratic Party officially started, we knew we were going to be in trouble. And we had a little bit of relief in 1860 when Lincoln became president. And then we've been fighting them ever since, from 1860 to 2023. And we know their playbook, because it's written on the pages of several manifestos throughout the history of them. And we also have our playbook. It's in the King James Bible, and it was in 1611. So ours has been around a lot longer than theirs, and ours is absolute truth, and theirs is made-up truth. I wanted to say, with regards to a lot of the Kennedy stuff, Eisenhower, who preceded Kennedy, if people were paying attention, he was not only a part of the armed services, but he was also part of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that was before I was born. But from what I've read and from what I've heard of people that lived through that, he was trying to warn people about the industrial complex. And the industrial complex and the threat of Kennedy wanting to pull out of Vietnam perpetrated what took place, and also Bay of Pigs and several other things that were taking place during that time, that he wanted to upset the apple cart, and they took him out so he couldn't do it.
Well, you're absolutely right. I remember very clearly. I remember Eisenhower giving that speech when it was his farewell speech, and he warned about the dangers of the industrial complex, and here
I would have voted for Ike. Had I been alive and been above voting age, I would have voted based on what I know about the man in the 60 years that I've been alive, and about the fact that we were told that we were going to get information released after such and such amount of years about Kennedy, and Biden didn't do anything. I don't know if they hamstringed Trump from doing any releasing of it, but we're entitled to the information, and we're tired of the lies, like you said before, and I tell everybody that's willing to listen in my circle. I'm tired of being lied to, and we know that all liars have their place in a lake of fire, so repent, get on your knees and repent, or perish. And those of us that are trying to be sanctified on a daily basis know that we put all our past, present, and future transgressions at the foot of the cross. We accept the free gift. And we are trying to, through our sanctification, we're trying to live better lives, not worse lives. And yet everything around us is wanting to attack any kind of virtue or righteousness that we're trying to foster. And we can't get mad because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We just have to be hopeful and be trustworthy that he'll do exactly what he says at the exact time it needs to be done. Praise God. All the glory to Christ Jesus. I'm counting down the days. There's 400 and some odd days till January 20th of 2025. And if the word never comes back, Boyd, then we know that he's going to complete what I started, the work I started in you till the day of Christ Jesus. And that includes every single one of us that has put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ and professed them with their mouth and believe it in their heart. That includes Donald Trump and all his family. And whether he is saved or not, God knows for sure. And if God started a work in him, the word says he will complete it. And if he is going to be the Cyrus, the outsider, that's going to come in, and if they tried to thwart what he started, and he's going to get another term, and God already knows the answer before the beginning. So I'm just going to trust and believe that when that day comes and he is in there, then I'll know that it was meant to be, and I'm going to stand behind him 100%.
All right, very good. Thanks, Tim. Okay, let's go out now. We have Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, you were talking about Big Pharma and these anti-anxiety medications. And on YouTube, there was an episode from the Weekend University, and the guy that explained things was James Davis. Now, I found the podcast, so it looks like an interesting podcast, The Weekend University. But he gave, like, a long presentation, very articulate. But he explained that what Big Pharma is doing and has done is they've expanded the definition of what anxiety is. So they have people that go to the doctor. They'll fill out a questionnaire about their stress level, and 90% of the people that take that test qualify for anti-anxiety medication. So, very interesting. On the Kennedy assassination, it is interesting. I had a relative that worked for Bell Labs, kind of a Navy guy. He was high-tech in the Navy, very intelligent, very articulate. Was that like, lived in Florida, but he was up. This was like 2010. I brought up the Kennedy assassination, not knowing, you know, anything that he had to do with knowing about it. But he worked for Bell Labs and was the one of two people in the country that set up phones for Kennedy when he would travel and land, say, in New York and other places like that. They would have someone that would be like their personal setup for the phones. He was one of the two. There was another guy in D.C., so he knew Kennedy very well. So he literally sat down for an hour with me and went through names, details, and basically it was, he said, you know, in summary, it was the Johnson and the CIA. And this guy,
yeah, that's what we've all known that from, I think we've all known that from the beginning because all of those were there, yeah, so. I think that's, you know, people were saying that from the very, very beginning.
So it was out there.
And so yeah. We'll see what happens when Trump, we got to get Trump back in office. I think what they're doing is they want to sit on all of those until everyone who was alive at that time it took part of that, this was, is gone until they've all died. And once they've died, then they'll bring it out.
Well, one more thing that is Oswald was never in Mexico. Apparently, and the receptionist at the Cuban embassy was Sylvia Duran, and she didn't go along with the story. She said, you know, Oswald never went to the Cuban embassy. The picture wasn't him, you know, the weight differential, et cetera, et cetera. And the CIA had to put in solitary confinement twice. They were behind it because she wasn't going along with the story. And the reason they set up that story was in anticipation of something like the Warren Commission. So the story they gave the Warren Commission is don't probe too deeply in this because Oswald was associated with the Soviet assassins, and if it comes out, 40 million Americans will be killed. So they set up that story so they would squash any further, you know, delving into the story. with the idea that it was really, you know, Cuba and Russia that was behind it, and if that was made known, it would trigger a massive war. So they set up the, you know, the that stage, anticipating something like a Warren Commission.
Yeah. Well, you know, just like the Oklahoma City bombing, that thing, too, you talk about with Timothy McVeigh, that was so just unbelievably, you know, corrupt. I mean,
hush, hush.
And not only that, but do you know who the prosecutor was in that case? Merrick Garland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that tells you something right there. It just was, I mean, everything about that whole case, I remember doing it. We were covering it. We came up with more evidence that it wasn't Timothy McVeigh. And he, they had a look-like for Timothy McVeigh. We remember that very, very clear. And not only that, they had brought in all of those officers from Iraq that would have been killed if they'd have stayed in Iraq at that time. So, I mean, that whole thing was a sham, was a scam. The whole thing was a setup. It was a false flag operation.
You know, so, and Madeleine Brown, Lyndon Johnson had a relationship with her that went back to 1951. He met her at some event in Dallas, Texas in 1951. So it's not like she was a fly-by-night with Lyndon
Johnson. No, she was his mistress for a number of years. She had her. She had a son. She wanted to, we had her on the radio back.
Yeah. Yeah. It was at that point, it was in 1963. It was more than a decade long relationship that they had. So,
Yep. You
know, it wasn't like she was just there, like one of the girlfriends in the rotation at that time. You know, she was a long standing friend, girlfriend, basically.
Oh, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, Cliff.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, John, you've got, how much time do I have right now? Okay, John, you've got 8 minutes to give, and I'll give you a minute when you're a minute up to go ahead and give an invitation.
Okay, Pastor Ernie. Well, on this show, we clearly bring out evil, good and evil. There is evil in the world. It's getting worse and worse, obvious. In fact, the Bible says that with the coming of Jesus Christ that it'll be like the days of Noah. As the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we don't anticipate it getting better, folks. Based on the Word, we expect things to get worse. Now, there may be some areas here of, like easing, let's say, and maybe victories. But generally speaking, it's going to get worse because we're heading towards the tribulation period. The man of sin will be revealed. The earth will be covered like violence from one end to the other. That's the description of where we're heading. So the evil is there. We can see it. There's no doubt about it. But also there's good, and the Bible shows us the good. Through God's love for us, we're in a sin-cursed, fallen world, deep in sin. But he loves us, and he wants us to have eternal life with him. So each one of us have to face sin within us, acknowledge that, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, the sinless only begotten Son of God, he had no sin in him. He was sinless. And on the cross, when he went to the cross, the Bible says he became sin for us. And that he took sin upon him, our sin. So that's why the death of Christ is so important. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty has to be paid. So God in love sent Jesus, who was willing to be our substitute and died on the cross, shed his blood, and paid the penalty for our sin. So what happens is when we trust and when we repent of sin and trust Jesus Christ, our sin is placed on him and his righteousness is placed in us. And that righteousness means we can stand before God because the sin is on Jesus. So his shed blood on death and shed blood on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. If you don't receive Jesus, if you reject him, then when you stand before God in judgment, you have to pay the penalty for the sin, which is eternal separation from God. Ultimately, it's in a place called the lake of fire. And man was not meant for it. But Christ is going to say on judgment day, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for Satan and his angels. So it's clear, folks. There's no gray area in this. It's repentance of sin, confessing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross sinless. He went to the cross sinless and then paid the penalty for our sin so that we can have eternal life, and also that he rose again on the third day bodily from the dead, and he's coming. And that's what we're looking for. We are now looking for his coming. It's called a blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So not only does God want to have us with eternal life, but he also wants to heal us inside. This is a sin-cursed world, and everybody without Jesus Christ, one way or another, has a broken heart. They have bondage inside them, and God wants us to be free from bondage. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So God wants us to be free from bondage, free from a broken heart. Pastor Ernie mentioned fear earlier in the show. People that are full of fear is a sign of a broken heart that needs to be healed. People that are depressed, that's a sign of a broken heart that God wants to heal. People can be suffering from great loneliness. That's a sure sign of a broken heart that needs to be healed. Suffering from rejection, suffering from the loss of a loved one, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. These are all things that God wants to heal after we come to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to say a prayer, and if it's your heart's desire to be with Jesus Christ and have eternal life, please, you can follow me in prayer. God, I now repent of sin. I turn away from it. I renounce it, turn away from it, and follow. And I want to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and your word. I now confess that Jesus died on the cross.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Paid the penalty for my sin and shed his blood and paid the penalty for my sin so I can be forgiven and have eternal life. And I now confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And because of this confession, I have only because of this confession, I have assurance of eternal life. God, I'm also asking for anyone who said this prayer and all the listeners, please heal the broken hearts. Your people are suffering. They are full of fear. They're depressed, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, John.
Thank
folks,
you, Lord.
We want to say good night. Let's say good night. Say God bless.
Yes.
And we always say now, and always, always,
always, always.
Keep fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left. hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.